Yes, Caroline Reedy with us with the HR suite for our human resource. Caroline, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this month.
A pleasure as always, Jerry.
Now, we have a query in here for you, and it's an interesting one. Someone says, Caroline, does somebody have to put up with aggressiveness from a colleague? Am I within my rights not to respond to an email that's aggressive in tone? Thanks in advance, says this listener.
I suppose we always say psychic communication doesn't really work, which is if you presume that the person expects that you're not going to reply because you think it's aggressive, and they may see nothing wrong with the way they've worded or sent the email. We noticed, Jerry, that there is a lot of differences. Now, we've never had more generations in the workplace. We have four generations in the workplace. And some of maybe the younger generation might send a quick message going, any chance I can have X. Whereas somebody else in the workplace may say, hi, Caroline, I would really appreciate it when you get a chance, if you wouldn't mind. And that's not implying, you know, that one is disrespectful or not, but it's just people are used to different forms of communication. And that's one of the big things, particularly the big four, have done a lot of training with their teams around, I suppose, you know, what to expect around the etiquette, because maybe what people were used to prior to working is very different to what the expectation might be in the work environment. So I would say to your listener, I think it's important to flag to the other person, listen, I'm sure you didn't mean it, but that sounded to me X, Y, Z. Because if you don't do that, it's likely the person is going to be wondering why you didn't reply to the email. And secondly, they probably will continue the behaviour that you're not happy with. So maybe in subtlety, maybe try and see, could they address it?
Yeah, and I'm not saying this is the case with this caller who's got in touch with us, but one person's aggressive tone can be another person's plain speaking, perhaps, maybe.
Absolutely.
So there's that to navigate as well. Unless it's totally unacceptable, like abusive language. Or something.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jerry. And again, it's back to that point. Somebody may see nothing wrong. They were doing it in haste or whatever. It could be a pattern that this person has noticed over time. But again, I think the most important thing is try subtly. I always say the art of asking the right questions is a really good way to do it, which is, look, I'm sure you didn't mean that, but this is how, you know, I perceived it, and just to flag it. And then it's not, you know, the person's not getting into defence mode straight away, which hopefully might help your listener.
Might be the case. And look, there is that thing then, if it doesn't stop, Caroline, the person here needs to, I suppose, revert to the company's internal procedures for dealing with issues that arise between employees.
Yeah, but you'd hope that it won't come to that. And especially for both the person who's on the receiving end and the other person, even if you go through the formal procedures, the first step in the formal procedure is nip it in the bud, informally try and see, can you have a word with the person, or, you know, make them aware that the behaviour isn't acceptable. And if the person feels they can't do that, they might be getting the assistance of HR or their manager, etc. But I always find generally nipping it in the bud is the best approach. And second of all, I would say, you know, when you're feeling like that, that you feel this person maybe isn't treating you with respect, that could be you impacting the person's sleep, and, you know, it might be causing them actual, you know, real upset. So the sooner that they tackle it, the better, so that it gets the matter resolved.
That is a fair point, and that is the way to look at it and way to do it. Caroline, another issue that's raised here by an employer, they're hearing this morning about the increase in the minimum wage. There's also auto-enrolment coming in, which we covered on the programme earlier this week in January. They have to start monitoring their wages now, getting ready for that. They're kind of looking at where do they turn to or what do they do in terms of, I suppose, informing staff and the extra burden of this sort of regulation on them.
Yeah, so we heard this morning that the Low Pay Commission have suggested that in their report that it should be a 5% increase to the national minimum wage. That was reported by RT, so it hasn't been officially published by the Commission yet. But ultimately, I suppose, that means that if that is the case, generally the government accept the recommendations from the Low Pay Commission, and that'll be confirmed and announced formally in the budget. You mentioned auto-enrolment being another key thing that obviously employers are getting ready for now. So there's about 800,000 people in the country with no form of pension that are in the work environment. And this auto-enrolment is designed to ensure that everybody has a retirement saving pot to complement the state pension scheme that's in place. But as an employer, there's a few key things you need to do. One is you need to identify, you know, is the best approach for you to go down the road of a company pension scheme or to go down the road of auto-enrolment? Because for some employers, it might be better that they have their own company pension scheme, because that will offer more flexibility in terms of, you know, people putting in additional voluntary contributions. They might, when they get a bonus, etc., they might want to put into their pension. The new auto-enrolment scheme doesn't allow that kind of flexibility. And also another key element to it is that if you are a higher earner over €80,000, you're you know, the additional contributions are capped at 80,000 gross earnings. So, for example, the government and all won't be contributing thereafter. So, again, you get tax relief on the company scheme. The government tops up the auto enrolment scheme. So there's a lot to do from an employer perspective. Number one, make a decision which is best for you. And number two, then start your policy and your contract updates, because you must update your handbook, you must update your contract of employment, because this is the legal obligation. And then you got to start your communication plan, which is number three. So because employees are already asking employers questions to say, you know, how is this going to impact me? Do I have to, you know, go ahead with this, or can I opt out? Which they can. But again, I think preparing your communication early means that you're preempting those very expected questions from your employees.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, another query in here, and it's in relation to, I suppose, what's happening in the United States at the moment. Does an employer have a right to monitor your social media in relation to what you were saying or what you were doing, and can it affect your employment status? Now, I'm reticent to kind of compare what's happening in America, because some very strange and unusual things are happening in relation to whatever controversy is happening and whatever is being done, and people are being fired, they're being let go, they're being suspended, whether you're an international TV star or whether you're working in any sort of a job. But it's unusual circumstances over there at the moment. It's a fairly volatile atmosphere. What's the status over here, Carolyn? Do you have a responsibility in your own personal social media not to have that reflect on the company you work for?
Yeah, so there's been cases already, you know, in relation to what is the boundaries between being at work and, I suppose, it's spilling over into your personal life and for you to have the freedom to say and do what you want outside of work. And we're going to be coming into Christmas party season shortly, and that's one time that we know absolutely any social activities that happen that are to do with work are very much a work-related matter. So dignity and respect and appropriate behaviour, etc., completely applies. But in relation to social media, the same expectation applies. So, for example, we've seen hugely disparaging comments and derogatory behaviour towards the Indian community, which, you know, is apparent, and I think everybody would concur with that. But ultimately, if somebody was to put up a post that would say, you know, something really inappropriate or unacceptable, and, you know, they have an Indian colleague that basically feels, look, that's an attack at me and that's a threat towards me, etc., that would be a very valid scenario and very much an employer problem. So definitely, you know, the concept of dignity and respect and the concept of appropriate behaviour. People can have their own views, they can have their own thoughts on whatever, but it's got to be in keeping with that concept of dignity and respect and collegiality, because as you'll appreciate, it does have a huge impact on the receiver to be, you know, seeing or hearing that type of commentary going on.
Yeah, like you're entitled to be involved in politics as anyone is. You're entitled to be involved in campaigns. But if you are, it's a new area, really. If you are firing out very controversial views on social media, views that would infringe on, let's say, incitement to hatred legislation, then that will have an impact, which is fair enough for your employer as well to be keeping an eye on that.
Absolutely. And as well, we've got to appreciate these are all public forums now. So, you know, if somebody's putting up a post, they're expecting the public, including colleagues and the employer, etc., to see it. So it's not like the employer is covertly finding out information that's not in the public arena. So I think people
you're publishing. This isn't a private conversation you're having with somebody else. This is something you're publishing for the world, and you need to realise you're publishing it.
Absolutely, Gerry. No, I would agree with you 100% there.
Okay, all right. One final query that's in here, and it's in relation to somebody who is concerned about their company and whether they're going to have their job this time next year. They're hearing a few things, but nothing official yet. What can they do, or do they just have to wait for communication?
Yeah, I think that's kind of, I suppose, one of the things that a lot of employees are in the same boat right now. You know, we've seen without doubt a lot of redundancies, restructuring. It's been called right sizing because a lot of organisations, I suppose, may have had additional staff, you know, and now they're doing that right sizing exercise. We're also seeing automation, you know, Salesforce and other organisations have done a big review of what jobs can automation take over. And I think it's about 7,000 jobs in Salesforce, for example, have been replaced with automation. So I can totally appreciate your listeners' concerns. And obviously for planning their financial and career and personal, you know, future for the next 12 months, they want to know where they stand. So I think it's very fair to have a conversation to say, listen, I'm concerned. Am I right to be concerned? And if, and most employers will be open and honest to give a truthful answer to that question, because I suppose we're in a world that volatility is part of, and depending on the sector you're in and depending on the type of organisation, there is that feeling of, you know, I suppose change fatigue. People are just kind of going, God, what's the next thing? You know, are there more redundancies? Are there more restructuring? So I think it's very fair to have the conversation and put your mind at ease, or if there is expected that there will be change coming, that the listener can make a strategic decision themselves to say, look, will I wait if there's potential redundancies, or actually will I get ahead of it?
Yeah, that's a key question. Okay, Carolyn, we're out of time. Thanks a million for answering all those queries for us again this month.
A pleasure. Thanks, Gerry.
Great stuff. Carolyn Reedy of the HR Suite.